be in these services. Acts chapter 3, let me read a few verses in your hearing, and the Lord would help us preach, I expect, by faith. Maybe a little bit smaller crowd tonight. Hopefully that means everybody's at their home church, and they'll all be back here tomorrow night. And maybe that'll give us a space of time to look at some things here. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." If that isn't a beautiful scenario, a picture painted in the Word of God of somebody broken, hurting, disabled, trying to do their best, and along comes Jesus and just fixes it all up. Just right. How many knows he still does stuff like that? Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial. Jesus is in the fix-it business. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. I'll preach for a little while. The Lord will help me on the thought. Broken at beautiful. Broken at beautiful. We understand as we look at this particular place, there's people, and there's a time, and there's a place. But if we look at the place for just a moment, we understand that this place is actually named Beautiful. Sister Mudderman, can you imagine a place named Beautiful? I actually have been to this very gate. We went to Jerusalem, and I got to preach around over there in Jerusalem and Nazareth and different places. Was it last year that we went to Jerusalem? And 2 years ago we were over there. And for 9 days we got to go preach around all the holy sites and everything. If you want to know the highlight of my life so far, maybe next to getting saved, or maybe right up equal with it, we got to go to the place where Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Y'all remember the Beatitudes? And the Catholics bought the place where they know historically it's been documented that Christ taught the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And the Catholic Church bought that place and put a big temple dome there, and it's called the Temple of the Beatitudes. And we happened to be going there that day, and there's services around on the property. And I got to be so blessed as to preach a sermon standing at the place where we know Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. If that doesn't make you feel about that big at one moment, and then make you feel as big and strong and powerful like you're standing right next to Jesus. I can't explain what it's like to know that I was ministering in a place where Christ physically ministered. And we went there, and we went all these different places, and the Bible just kept coming more and more and more to life for me. And we went to these different gates, and we went to the they would tell us about the different gates. And this particular gate called Beautiful, the name of the gate was Beautiful. And this is the place that this particular lame man chose to go and do his begging. The Bible said asking alms. Basically, he was begging for offerings because of his lameness. And then there's a specific time that he was there, which actually the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it beautiful or agreed to name it beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity. And also, besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can y'all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called Beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called Beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it Beautiful or agreed to name it Beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity. And also, besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can y'all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it Beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called Beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called Beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called Beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it beautiful or agreed to name it beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity, and also besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can y'all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called Beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it beautiful or agreed to name it beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity, and also besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can you all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it beautiful or agreed to name it beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because if you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity. And also, besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can you all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it beautiful or agreed to name it beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity. And also, besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can you all just stay with me a little while? Look like half you're about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called Beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it Beautiful or agreed to name it Beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. More people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity. And also, besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can you all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. Actually, the Bible says the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very, very specific why a man that is begging would be at this place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when people would be getting off of work. And this place where this gate called Beautiful is a place of great commerce and traffic. People going to work and coming from work, and now they're getting off of work and they're going back home from work, or they're going from work to the market to purchase their final items for the day before they go home. So because they were going home from work and going to the market, one thing we would know was that they had some money. He chose a place to beg where they had money. Also, this gate is called Beautiful because there's two major themes and major reasons why they called it Beautiful. Number one, it was a gorgeous place. The gate itself was much bigger than some of the other gates, and it was had beautiful rocks and ornamentation and things. But all the gates were beautiful that went into the temple. All the gates were beautiful that went from the outer city to the inner courts of the city. And it always, I just couldn't grasp why they called one of all these beautiful gates, one was called Beautiful. And come to find out, one of the reasons why the traditionalists claimed that this particular gate was called Beautiful was because of all the gates, there was a certain group of people that was allowed to enter each gate. You had to go through the gate that you were allowed to go through. One of the gates only Jews could go through. Another gate only Jewish men could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites could go through. Another gate only Jewish men that were Levites that were high priests could go through. And it just got narrower and narrower and narrower who could go through what gate. But this particular gate was called, besides being called the gate called Beautiful, was called sometimes the gate of the people. Because it was the only gate that anybody and everybody could go through. And the reason behind some of them saying that it's called Beautiful is because anybody and everybody could go through there. Obviously, there would be a lot more women going through this gate than any other gate. And that people that would stand and gaze at the crowds going back and forth saw many more women, more attractive women in this particular area than anywhere else. And some of the outsiders or the unreligious groups either also named it Beautiful or agreed to name it Beautiful. So you got all these different backgrounds and these reasons. Because of you have all the different people going through there, you realize not only is it a place where there's money to be gained, but it's a place of great popularity. more people could gather and enter in at this gate than any other place. So we have this lame man begging in a place where there's money, in a place where there's popularity, and also besides it just being a populated gate, and because it was a populated gate, this is where the chief priest chose in the entire city to put the chests where the offerings could be given for support of the daily upkeep of the temple. So people going past this particular gate were had a higher percentage rate, if you will, of being generous than people passing by another gate. Because if you intended to give some money to the church for the upkeep of the temple, you would have to go by this particular gate to give the money, because that's the only place that the chests were. Can you all just stay with me a little while? Look like happy about to fall asleep. I'm laying a foundation here. We've got a lame man, hurting, broken, destitute, trying to be wise, trying to be intelligent, trying to... How many here ever... It's not even a raise of hand. Everybody falls into this category. We've all had a point in our life where we felt some hopelessness. We all had a point in our life where we felt like we didn't have good direction. It could have been broken relationships. It could have been broken promises. It could have been bills that couldn't been paid. It could have been sin that we felt was unforgiven. Whatever it is, we've all been to a place where we felt like it was up to me and me alone to figure out a way to get out of this horrible circumstance. Everybody that you pass on the road, everybody that you see at Walmart, everybody that lives in every house, in every place in the world, has been or currently is in a situation where they feel a need, they feel a desperation, they feel a loss of hope, and they've decided, if I can't figure a way out of this, there's going to be big trouble. So this man trying to think his way through his problems. Y'all don't have to raise your hand, but y'all know sometimes we think we're smart enough to think our way through our problems. And here he is. He's saying, okay, if I have to beg, where would be the best place to beg? If I have to rely on somebody else to help me, where would be the best place to find that somebody else? There was no doubt in his mind. He decided the best place was the gate called Beautiful, because they have money. There's lots of them. They're generous. This is that place that is the most popular place with the most good-looking people in it and plenty of money in it and money in their pockets, and they're generally generous and all of these things, as it explains the crowd and then it explains the man, and all it says about him is he's lame. The word lame has two different definitions. We know that only one of them literally applied in Scripture. The other one, though, believe it or not, applies more than you think, even though its definition is very, very modern. When we use the word lame, traditionally it means broken, unable to function correctly, difficulty in making forward progress. How many here, don't raise your hand, how many here in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your bedroom, in your apartment, in your car, on your job, at your place of education, have felt broken, unable to function correctly, that you're having difficulty in making forward progress? The Bible would call that lame. There's another definition of the word lame that is a more modern definition. We would call it the slang definition. Lame also can mean unoriginal or not cool. Have y'all ever remember some young person seeing something that some older person is doing and they say, oh, that's lame, Mom. They're not saying that it's broken. They're saying it's uncool. Well, you may disagree with me, but I think that our modern definition applies in this verse too. Because being lame and being broken, being unable to function correctly, having a difficulty in making forward progress, if we apply that to our spiritual life, we come up lame. It is unoriginal to be a sinner. Everybody's tried it. It is unoriginal to be a punk. There's plenty of them all over town. It's unoriginal to be a hater. The world is full of them. It's unoriginal to be a drunkard. How many do you personally know? It is unoriginal in America today to be a tramp. Just go downtown to any major city and you'll find them walking all around. It's unoriginal to be a gangster. Please, everybody thinks that they're one these days. It's unoriginal to be an angry black man. There's one on every corner of every major city that I've ever been to. It's unoriginal to be a half-naked white woman out in public. We see them every single day at Walmart. It is not cool to be a jerk. It is not cool to be shacked up and sleeping around. It is not cool to say praise Jesus with the same lips that we curse and swear with. It is not cool to have a mind full of lust and pride. It is not cool. It is not original to believe that man's teachings over God's word. And I guarantee you, brother and sister, it will not be cool to go to hell. There are lame people that are broken, that are hurting, that cannot make forward progress, that are completely unoriginal and completely not cool. And they're trying to think their way out of their problems. If I do this, and if I tell so-and-so this, and then if I keep her from finding out that he knows about this, come on now. Trying to think our way out of our problems. In the midst of everything that seemed to be beautiful and seemed to be lovely, this wonderful gate, these magnificent rocks, and this tremendous entry to this big fancy temple, here we have a man that is lame, he's broken, he's unable to function correctly, having difficulty in making forward progress. You and I get hurt sometimes. You and I get broken sometimes. You and I come up short sometimes. We have difficulty going forward in our lives. We have difficulty going forward in making right decisions. We have difficulty in making progress in our relationships. We have setbacks over and over again. We could associate with this lame man, and the next thing you know, people that are hurting and set back and broken and coming up short, they start trying to find things in this world to make up for their shortcomings. They think the right mate will make it better. They think the right clothes will make it better. They think the right style will make it better. You find a group hanging out over here pretending to be cowboys, and the group hanging out over here pretending to be hoods and gangsters. You got a group over here that they're all preppies. You got a group over here and they're all skaters. You got a group over here and they're all emo. Y'all know what emo is? They call it emotional. It's those people that go around with black clothes and black makeup and black fingernails, and they call themselves emo. It's short for emotional. They're all caught up in their broken emotions, and they think if they relate one to another with their broken emotion, somehow that will make them feel better. I hate to go this far back, but I remember before I got saved and God freed me from my chains and my bondage, when I felt at my lowest, I'd go to the bar because there was always some hurting soul sipping on a bottle somewhere, and it just felt better to be hurting that much and near somebody that was hurting at least close to near as much. And the world has got this idea, if you're hurting bad enough, the best thing you can do is go around other hurting people and somehow that'll make it better. Does it make it better? We know it doesn't. We know generally that puts ourselves in such a horrible, weakened, vulnerable state that the worst possible thing is bound to happen to us at that moment. But still we think, if I can fit in, if I can get the right amount of money, if I can get the right looking girl and the right looking guy, come on, y'all. I know you think, why do I keep preaching like this to a church full of saved folk? I really feel this. I'll tell you what's probably going on with this lame man right here, Brother Sister Taylor. See, he wasn't waking up every morning going down to the bar. That's not what he was doing. He wasn't waking up every morning going to the club or the stadium or the strip joint. No. He was going down to the church house. Uh-oh. Here's a broken man, and every day he gets carried to the church house, to the temple. This is where he did his begging. He probably had already been given several Bibles from several preachers. He'd probably lost most of them. He probably had one of his Bibles with him that day when Peter and John came by. Think about it. He had nothing to do all day. He probably memorized dozens and dozens of scripture and had hundreds more underlined. But he was still broken. Hear me what I say tonight, friend. Religion won't fix your problem. But Jesus will. I said religion will not fix your problem. But Jesus will. He could talk the talk. He could quote John 3:16. He could quote Psalm 23. He could talk the talk. This lame man wasn't a fool. He'd been in church every day begging. He'd been there studying his Bible that people had given him. He could talk the talk. He could talk about being sanctified and justified and certified and churchified and religious aside and all. Come on now. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when you try to deal with somebody and it's obvious there are some problems in their life. And as soon as they find out you're a preacher or a Christian or holiness or assemblies or whatever, the first thing they want to do is start talking the talk. They can talk about how God sent them the Holy Spirit to bless their inner being with the rhapsodious power of the uplifting of the gospel of righteousness when he gave them a vision in the spirit of the terrestrial angelic host, and you want to look at him and say, shut up! I'm talking about your soul. Not what you know, but what happened in your heart. Lots of people can already talk the talk. The lame man could talk the talk. I meet homeless people and drug dealers and prostitutes on the streets of downtown Tulsa that can quote far more scripture than I can, that understand the coming of Christ better sometimes than I do. And they're lost as the devil himself. They can talk the talk. The lame man could talk the talk, but you know what he could not do? He could not walk the walk. The Bible said he was lame. He couldn't walk the walk. That's what the problem is oftentimes with you and I. We go down and hang out at the church house. We're here at the right time. We're here with the right people. We can talk the talk, but when we get out in the real world by ourselves, we still have lust problems. We still have lying problems. We still have addiction problems. Why is that, preacher? I mean, I already learned to talk to talk. I know, but you've got to walk the walk. And as long as you're lame, as long as you're crippled, as long as you're broken, as long as you cannot make forward progress, as long as you have not accepted that which the disciples of Jesus Christ have to offer in faith, you're broken. I want to help somebody if I can for just a minute here. Everyone in this room needs to realize something with me right now. It does not matter how many churches you've been to. It does not matter how many preachers' names you know. It does not matter how many verses you can quote, how many ministries you have volunteered for, or when you were baptized. If you cannot walk the walk, you still need to receive what Peter was passing out, an opportunity to exercise faith in your Savior. And his ability to change you for good. People tell me every day as I'm witnessing to folks up and down the street, they say, I'm a Christian. I was baptized. I'm a Christian preacher. I speak in tongues. I tell them all the same thing. You will be a Christian the day that you believe in Jesus enough to live for him. Regardless of when or how many times you were baptized, regardless of when or how many times you spoke in tongues, you will be a Christian. It will be absolute and permanent the day that you have enough of His power inside you that causes you to want to live like Him all the time. Serve Him. Fear Him. Talk like Him. Walk like Him. Act like Him. Think like Him. This man received strength. He walked and he leaped and he was going into prayer. He went, the Bible explains, it was to worship and to testify. When God gets in a man or a woman's heart, they will get up. They will take off in the right direction. And they will grow in God by leaps and bounds. You are here right now at Bristow Assembly of God Church. It's a beautiful place. This is a beautiful place. If you could see it with the right eyes, exactly where I stand, exactly where you sit, is more beautiful than Niagara Falls could ever be. More beautiful than the redwood forest of North California could ever dream of being. This is a greater experience than starting at the headwaters and going all the way down the Nile. This is beautiful. If you would see it right. I don't know how long this church has been here, but it's been here a good long while. And if we could stop for just a minute and think of everybody that prayed at altars in this sanctuary, everybody that cried and wept their way to old time salvation in services that were performed on this property, if we could go back and see somehow all of the divorces that never took place because of what happened here, all the children that never went without food and didn't get beat because of what happened here, if we could see how many drunkards didn't become drunkards and how many addicts didn't become addicts, how many lies never got told, how many acts of lust never went forward because of the beautiful, wonderful things that have happened in this place. If we could realize much of the pain that you and I feel on a daily basis had been washed away by the blood of Calvary over and over and over again right here in this place, it's beautiful. The times that even some of you sitting in this very room right now came on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, on a revival, during a fellowship meeting, and your life was in shambles, and it felt like it was falling apart, and this sister testified, that brother sang, that preacher preached, and somehow God fell in this place, and it all came back together for you, and it was beautiful. No matter what circumstance is happening in your life right now, no matter what you're going through, any amount of bondage, any amount of self-persecution, any amount of doubt and hurt and shame that's going on in your personal life right now changes nothing about how beautiful the place that you're in is. This place is beautiful. This place is the place where young girls like these have prayed so many times and listened to Sunday school lessons so many times and heard anointed preaching so many times that many of the pressures and the problems and the difficulties that you and I went through in our adult life, they won't have to go through because of how beautiful this place is. But are you personally broken? You came to the right place. You are in the right atmosphere. You're with the right people, and this is definitely the right time. But are you personally broken? Are you the one struggling with meth? Are you the one that stopped drinking for 6 months and then went on a drunken binge for 4 days? Are you the one that out there in the world in your everyday life, you feel like you need to pray and you feel like you need to get saved and you feel like you want to run to the altar and weep when you get to church tonight and then you get here and the enemy of your soul just stops you dead in your tracks and makes you feel cold and nothing all through the service
and then you don't pray, and you don't get in, and you don't feel anything. And as soon as you go back in the world, you feel the need again. Are you the one that's lame? If you are, and only you know you are, that makes you, friend, broken and beautiful. It's one thing when we see the homeless man all slumped up in his bags and in his rags downtown Washington, D.C., holding on to his 40-ounce bottle like it's the love of his life. 3 weeks worth of hair on his face. 3 weeks worth of dirt on his hands. It's an old dirty street. It's an old alley. It's an old trash can. And there's an old bum. It goes. Brother Andy, it goes. That's one thing to see that. It's a totally different thing to see a saint of God on a Sunday morning, the sun shining, the flowers are blooming, the preacher's preaching a message, and somebody looks inside the window and sees somebody standing right there with a smile on his face, hands up in the air, saying, "Preach, brother, preach." That goes. It looks right. But when you see the broken, and you see the hurting, you see the messed up life, the twisted mind and the tormented heart and the hurting soul, and you see him sitting right there on the pew in the church during the service, and some eerie, creepy feeling comes over you, and you're thinking, why? I understand if I see the look of hurt at a nightclub. I understand if I see the look of despair at 2 a.m. on a street corner. I understand if I see that beat down shuffle coming out of a liquor store. And my first thought is they need Jesus. They need the helper of hearts, the divine deliverer of souls. But I go to church after church after church, from sea to shining sea. And I see that one worshiping, and that one praising, and that one singing, and that one preaching, and that one looks like she's about to die. Sometimes not 20 feet from the altar, the place of deliverance, the place of sacrifice, the place where when sin is confessed and hurt and hardness is laid down and love and mercy and grace falls out and they're broken at beautiful. Oh, help me, Jesus. I don't feel like I'm preaching a lick in the road this week, y'all, but I'm telling you, my heart's broken for you. If you come tonight expecting me to be able to help you, all I can tell you is silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I want us to stand right now all over this house. I want to say something. I want to be careful how I say it. I wish everybody knew me well enough to be able to really take me like I really mean it every time. Because I know I'm 6'8", and I'm loud, and I'm aggressive, and I'm all those things. But you have no idea how much love and sincerity and tenderness I really have in my heart for you and everybody else. And I wouldn't hurt anybody for anything. Not anybody. Even when they're hurting me, I don't even want to hurt them. But the devil's tricked some of you. He's got you in just the right place where you believe if you just kind of hang right there in the middle somewhere, you're going to somehow come out all right. You're not a rank sinner. You're not a dope addict and a dope dealer and a wife beater. You're a pretty decent fella. You're a pretty good old gal. You go to church sometimes. You mean well. You're probably even a Republican. There's just something about admitting I'm broken. Something about facing the public consequence of, you got my number, God. You pinned me down. You told my story. You found me out. I need you worse than I've ever needed anything in my life. We do everything in the world and face that circumstance. And there's a finish line somewhere for every one of us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Mighty God in heaven, Father, as much as I care, as much as I'm concerned, as much as I love every heart, mind, body, soul in this place, God, I don't scratch the surface to what you have for them. For you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. I can't say the right words. I can't preach long enough. I can't preach short enough. I can't get the right title. I can't get the right structure. I can't sing the right song. God, I'm relying on you and you alone to knock on that heart's door and plead for someone to let you in. It's so much better when the relief comes. I don't know your life. I don't know your heart. I don't know your soul. I only know what God tells me to say. And I question that half the time. But I feel the unction of the Holy One tonight begging me to beg you. If you're broken, you are at beautiful, and it doesn't have to be like this anymore. There's a way out. There's an answer to that impossible question. There's a solution to that horrible problem. And if you have any confidence in this preacher whatsoever, and you think that maybe I can help you, this is the only way I know how to help you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. In the name of the Savior of the world, get up from where you're at and come. And once and for all, the right way, at the right time, in the right place, bow your knee before your Maker and work it out with Him. God, I've tried everything this world has to offer. It's time I tried you and only you. God, you know my heart. I love you and I believe in you, but somehow my sincerity has not changed my every moment of my every life. God, I need more. If I had my way, I'd stand here and I'd beg you for 100 years until you finally came. But I know we don't have that kind of time. But I'm asking you tonight, if you feel that drawing, if you could put your finger on that thing in your life right now, in your mind, in your heart, that you most desperately need help in, why don't you come? Why don't you come here at this place called Beautiful and see if God wouldn't touch your lameness, give you strength to leap and run and walk again, that you and the rest of us with you could do like that man did that day and praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. Love Him for it. How about it tonight? I know you already know how to talk the talk. I know you already been in church. I know you already know about God. I know all that. We're past all that. I'm just asking, are you tonight broken at Beautiful? And if so, why not take this opportunity to do something about it? Because you, friend, are being offered the exact same thing that the lame man was. Strength, healing, deliverance for whatever has you bound. Church, let's pray. Let's come, everyone that will. Let's pray. You feel the need to talk to your Savior tonight, would you bow? Find yourself a place. Call on His name. Jesus, you're real. Jesus, you're right. God, forgive me if I'm not getting these points across the way you would that I should. God, make differences in these lives. Women and children, men and boys. God, every soul will face an eternity someday. Every soul has a decision to make somewhere, some way. Put it in us, oh God, to choose the right. All you want to do is help. Master, Master, Master. God, that a soul would submit tonight. God, that somebody would leave your chains better, different, fixed. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Follow those, God. Haunt those, God, that cannot fully commit tonight, God, all through the night and all through the day. Remind them these words, God, that they're broken. And they were at Beautiful. And that there was a way out and there still is. It to turn, God, turn. Repent. Repent. Turn from our sinful carnal ways. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Savior. Give us the courage, God, to step out. Make a public spectacle of ourselves if we must, God. But it's more important to get my soul right, my heart right, my eternity right. Don't worry what any other human being thinks about it.
Go ahead, take time. Talk to Jesus. We got time for Jesus. Take time. Ask Him your questions and wait till He gives you His answers. You say there's no answers to these questions. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. There's never been a man, woman, boy, or girl in such a terrible spot that the God of the universe could not get them out. Hallelujah. Oh, call on Him, sisters, call on Him. Please pray a little while, church. Oh, there's some desperate needs that need met in this house. Oh, God. Sweet Holy Ghost of heaven, fall on us right now. Put it in a sister's heart. Put it in a brother's heart, God, to make the right move. God, if nobody will move for yourself, Lord. But oh, change somebody's eternity for the better. Get somebody off that road bound toward hell and on that road bound towards heaven. Oh, you can, God, you can. We trust you. We believe you. We know, God, you can. Savior.